Haskell, brother and sister. St. Helena, California, October 25, 1911. Elder Haskell, Portland, Maine. Dear brother and sister Haskell, I should be very pleased to be with you in Portland, Maine. I am thinking, as soon as the winter months are past, of making the journey to Maine. I do not now see anything to hinder this. On Monday, October 30th, we go to Loma Linda. There I can continue to write. Our people need to have the importance of Bible truth often impressed on their minds. Often in the night season, I am bidden to write to our brethren in responsible positions to arouse them to make earnest efforts to follow on to know the Lord more perfectly. When our workers realize, as they should, the importance of the times in which we live, there will be seen a determined purpose to be on the Lord's side, and they will become, in truth, laborers together with God. When they will consecrate heart and soul to the service of God, they will find that an experience deeper than any they have yet obtained is essential if they would triumph over all sin. There is need of constant watchfulness, a daily reconversion, that our individual traits of character shall be wholly sanctified to God. All our powers are to be purified from the dross of sin and trained for service. There are many who, while professing to be the servants of God and to be looking for the soon return of Christ, are not having the experience that all must have who stand without fault before God. They are making mistakes in the work of character building. To continue to make these mistakes is a costly business, for they hinder the progress in the divine life. Our religious obligations begin in serving God faithfully in the home life. I am urged to bear earnest testimony to parents in public and private, that they may be led to devote all their powers in sanctified service for Christ. I am instructed to urge upon our people the need of being imbued with the Spirit of God. This Spirit will teach believers to work in harmony with Christ whenever and wherever opportunity offers. As different families among our people have been presented before me, I have been shown their great need of the converting power of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we might have a pattern of true holiness. Let parents study the pattern, that they may become true laborers together with God for the salvation of their children. Religion in the home is of vital importance. Upon fathers and mothers rests to a large degree the responsibility for the mold of character that their children receive. Let not the mother gather to herself so many cares that she cannot give time to the spiritual needs of her family. Let parents seek God for guidance in their work. On their knees before him, they will gain a true understanding of their great responsibilities, and there they can commit their children to one who will never err in counsel and instruction. Heaven is worth striving for. Let parents pray with their children individually, as well as in the family circle. They need to do this if they would bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, bring Christ into your life. Let not unkindness be expressed in words or actions. When difficulties arise in the home, parents are often tempted to deal with their children hastily, and their correction of wrongs often reveals lack of mercy or justice. Let them remember that scolding and beating will not accomplish that which they should most desire. Instead of punishing your child hastily, pray with him. And as you do this, let your own heart respond to the softening, subduing influences of the Spirit of God. The father of the family should not leave to the mother all the care of imparting spiritual instruction. A large work is to be done by fathers and mothers, and both should act their individual part in preparing their children for the grand review of the judgment. The work done in the home is a work which, in many cases, will decide the welfare of the children through all eternity. If parents must neglect something, let it not be the work of molding the character after the divine similitude. The Lord revealed himself not only as the true and living God, but as our heavenly Father when he sent his only begotten Son into the world to purchase our redemption. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If we accept the invitation of the Spirit of God, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we are partakers with Christ of his self-denial and become laborers together with God, we shall be heirs with Christ to all the glories of the eternal world. If so be that we suffer with him, the apostle writes, we may be also glorified together. Romans 8, verse 15 to 17.
The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are members of the royal family, children of God. But those who would be partakers of the divine nature must suffer with Christ in this world. Discipline in the school of Christ is the portion of all who in the future would share his glory. Then let us be diligent students, cooperating with Jesus Christ in the work of redemption from sin. In this life, we are called to endure test and trial, that God may prove our devotion to him and our fitness for a place in his kingdom. Think of the sacrifice Christ made, the sufferings he endured to make it possible for us to have these privileges. In his life was given us an unerring pattern. To those who, recognizing the pattern, strive earnestly to follow it, the eternal reward is assured. Christ's own hand will place the crown of glory on the heads of the faithful. His voice will bid them welcome to the everlasting kingdom, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25, verse 23. Ye are bought with a price, the apostle declared. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. As believers yield heart and mind to follow the counsel of the Lord, striving to be worthy of the name of sons and daughters of God, their lives will give forth an influence that will be felt by all with whom they associate. If parents will teach their children to conduct themselves according to the principles of the Word of God, these children will unconsciously teach others what it means to be Christians. Let parents maintain true Christian dignity before their children, and they will be greatly aided in their work of upbuilding the kingdom of Christ. The Apostle Paul, describing the children living in these last days, declares them to be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. It is important that parents realize the tendency of the age and labor untiringly to educate their children away from those things, preparing them by teaching them to love and copy the life of Christ for a place in the future life of holiness.